Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 63, and I am your host, DJ Chuang. Our website is socialmediachurch.net, and there you can scroll through the archives of the previous 62 episodes of Social Media Church. I've been having conversations with great church leaders using social media and launching online churches, internet campuses, and doing some really neat things online to spread the gospel and make disciples. And this past week, I was in Dallas, Texas at the iMinistry 2013 conference. It's the second year that they've hosted this at Lake Point Church in Rockwall, Texas, which is in East Dallas, about 30 minutes from downtown. And I had such a great time connecting with the church leaders there, having some face-to-face conversations about social media and internet church. I actually counted 13 previous guests on the Social Media Church podcast who were there in person. And I got to chat with all of them, some longer than others. And I'm just going to run through a list of all of them, as well as include a link in the show notes to every one of those episodes, because they are definitely amongst the pioneers of those who are using social media and developing online churches, online campuses, internet campus, or whatever you would call that. And after I share the list, I'll describe some of the things that we talked about there. I only caught the tail end, but it was still a very energizing time. So the host of the iMinistry conference was Nate Merrill at Lake Point Church. He shared with us on episode number 47. I also got to see Oscar Soto from Christ Fellowship, episode number 46 on the Social Media Church. Elwood Matthews of Zion Church was there from the Washington, D.C. area. He was on episode number 38. Dana Byers of BlueDoor.tv and LifeChurch.tv, episode 29. Jan Touchberry of Christ Fellowship McKinney, episode 25, was there. She's one of the tallest persons I know, or one of the tallest in the room anyways. And Jay Cranda from Saddleback Church online campus was there, and he was on our podcast back in episode 19. And here's the ironic thing. Jay Cranda lives within 20 minutes of where I live here in Orange County, California. But I had to fly 2,000 miles over to Dallas, Texas to meet up with him in person. And I'm not sure exactly why we don't meet up more often here when we live so close to each other within driving distance. But it was great to see him there at the iMinistry 2013 conference. Also got to meet Alan George of LifeChurch.tv for the first time, and he was with us on Social Media Church back in episode 14, as well as Jason Kasten of the iChurchMethod.com series of books and courses from episode 13. Westside Family Church was represented with Jason Morris and his associate, nicknamed Tinkerbell. Got to chat with her as well. I forget her real name, but she has such a cool title. And Jason was on episode 11. Also got to see Seth Ferrier from episode 6, and he is the online campus pastor over there at Seacoast Church. And, of course, got to connect with Nils Smith, the social media pastor of the Community Bible Church. They're in San Antonio, Texas. About a 3.5-hour drive for him and two of his associates. He has someone that is working with him called the social media manager, and someone else that's a content strategist, I believe it was. And he was our second guest at the Social Media Church podcast back in episode number 2. And two other guys I also got to meet. Daryl Girardier of Brentwood Baptist Church from episode number 57. Met him for the first time and had a great conversation with him about Lifeway, because he used to be there, the publisher that's based in Nashville, and he still works and lives in Nashville. And got to reconnect with Shemichael Hallman. He was on episode number 59. So check the show notes and listen to their conversations with me here on the Social Media Church. Great insights of how they are using social media to facilitate conversations online, as well as life change and sharing the gospel in such creative ways through their online campuses. I think all of them, let's see, let me look at the list again. Almost all of them have online campuses. There's a couple of exceptions. And when I describe online campus or internet campus with a church, my definition is a pretty low bar. It's a church that has a online worship experience that's more than just a live stream. Now, every online campus or every internet campus that's associated with a physical church does things a little bit differently, and they use different technologies, and each of those churches embody a different culture and DNA and process for how to invite someone into a relationship with Jesus Christ and help them to grow and become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ and making disciples. Actually, there's one church that even offers online membership, or at least one of the churches that I got to chat with offers online membership, and that would be Neil Smith over at Community Bible Church offers online membership for people who worship with them online. And so new kinds of questions and new kinds of opportunities are opening up as we talk about online church. Now, I've been researching and tracking this development since 2007 when I was full-time at Leadership Network as the Director of Digital Initiatives. And since that time, the number of churches with internet campuses has grown from 5 to 105 here in October 2013. And so this iMinistry 2013 conference is intent on being the place to educate and inspire and to help other churches launch and run their online campuses. And so I kind of drew some concentric circles to help them understand the universe of where churches are at when it comes to doing ministry online and providing worship services as well as other services that would probably come along. But online services would probably be the kind of the highest bar you can go. And then when you go beyond that, that's just a whole nother world, you know? So just to keep things simple, I've counted 105 online campuses. I've accounted for 400 churches with live streams, which would be inclusive of the 105, just to help you quantify those numbers. And of course, there's links to those lists on socialmediachurch.net. And those lists are compiled on a Google Docs spreadsheet. And you're invited to add your church onto those lists if you've got an online campus that I don't know about yet. And again, I'm not omniscient. I'm just a guy here wanting to help the cause. And so it's an open edit. So add your church or add churches you know that have live streams but aren't on that spreadsheet or have an online campus and aren't on that list. So please help me out. This is a crowdsource effort. And then in the landscape of what's here in the United States of America, we're looking at somewhere in the range of 300,000, 330,000 churches that are officially up and running and have weekly worship services. So that's the three circles. You've got 105 that have crossed the line and recognize the opportunity to do ministry online and offer life change. There's 400 that are just stepping into the water, or 300 out of those 400 that are stepping into cyberspace with live stream. And it's a logical next step to add some extra features to facilitate ministry during those worship services and to facilitate ministry in between those worship services, whether that's small groups or webinars or training. The sky's the limit. Prayer meetings, another idea for you. And then the 300,000 churches that are still not sure what to do or just exploring it or trying to raise the budget for it or aren't even aware of the possibilities of doing church online. And I think the latest numbers I've seen, probably only 2/3 of those 300,000 churches have active websites. So there's still thousands of churches that don't even use websites. So if they don't have a website, they're not going to be doing online church, right? That makes sense. Now, two world records I'll share with you. So those of you that are on your way towards launching an online church, here's the two record times to beat, or two world records to beat. All right, the fastest launch of an online church that I'm aware of is 6 weeks, and that record is held by Neil Smith of Community Bible Church. So from idea to launch, they were able to launch their online campus in just 6 weeks. Pretty darn amazing, huh? And then the other world record that I just heard about while talking with someone at iMinistry, and I can't recall his name, but I do remember the number. There's a church that launched an online campus on a budget of $20,000. So there you go. Those are the two records to beat when it comes to online campuses. How fast you can launch one after you've got the green light to launch, and how low can you go? Can you launch an online campus for less than $20,000? And I would suggest that you can, but it will take some creativity and brainstorming, and definitely coloring outside the lines. So I had such a great time at the iMinistry 2013 conference. I talked to at least another dozen people there. Don't remember all the names, but we connect on Twitter, and then that can keep the conversations going. And one of the things that crystallized for me, or began forming in my head, was this idea of innovating without limits. Unlimited innovation, that we can be creating and making a change and making an impact in this 21st century because we have the resources and the tools of the internet to change the way things are done. So a lot of the conversations that happen when you're in a room with church professionals who are part of a staff and they have to be concerned about money and being strategic and accountable with how they do things, you know, is that thing about money and budgets. And so the question that crystallized, or began to crystallize for me, is what if the assumption was this, that what can you do to change the world and to further your church mission on $0 budget? What if we were to change the rules of the game and not be concerned about money? So let's just push that aside and say, what can we do with just time and talent of the people that God brings to us? So rather than playing the paid game where we have to be concerned about budget and fundraising or sustainability and an economic engine, let's play in the sandbox of a brand new game where it's free. And I think the inception of this idea began to crystallize when Alan George liked my little offhanded comment about how free will set the world free. And part of that quote was inspired by what LifeChurch.tv does with offering so many church resources like the Bible app and Church Metrics and their church online platform and their teaching library of videos and other resources. They just offer that up for free. Freely give as they have freely received. And that's biblical. And so from that example, I've been adapting it into my own life. And in a way, we've been doing it here at Social Media Church. And I'll describe how that fits into this new paradigm of innovation. Innovation with zero budget. Break that codependency on budget and money and funding, and you could be doing all kinds of other things. And I think in the 21st century, we've got to have some room to color outside the lines. And I think there's a huge opportunity to be developing and creating some breakthrough solutions. Let me give you two examples. Think back to Arab Spring and how social media was instrumental, or at least had a part, in overturning the government of Egypt. Now, it's argued and pointed to on a Facebook page that hundreds and thousands and millions of people were mobilized through a Facebook page. And you know what? What was the budget for them to do all of that? Let me propose to you that it was on a $0 budget, and without a fire shot, they were a part of doing something that overturned the government of Egypt. Now, if social media can do that, what is your church doing with your social media? And they did it on very little budget, just on manpower, time, and rallying the crowdsource and cognitive surplus that all of us have. You see, when it comes to time, talents, and treasures, those are kind of the basic resources that we have to offer for the kingdom of God. And let's assume that what we're after here is not to develop a career or to develop a job where someone is paid to do the work, but let's use the surplus time that people have and organize it and coordinate it in such a way as to create a model or a prototype or create some kind of a cultural artifact or to run a campaign or to do something that is even sustainable over a period of time, running on the assumption of $0 budget. Now, a question that was posed to me when Nils invited me up to the final panel of open Q&A during iMinistry, he proposed a question: if you were given $100,000, what would you do? And the other churches kind of played around with the ideas of using it towards advertising or raising production value and some other good things, you know, as part of the normal organizational budgeting process. And then as I thought about my answer for that question, I said, my baseline would be, what can I do on $0 budget? And then any other funds and monies that come in, like this $100,000, would just be gravy. That's bonus. I'm not looking to that thing called money to sustain what I'm doing. I'm looking to people with time and skills and a heart and a passion for what the mission or what the vision is to contribute. Whether you have money or a formal organization or not, it's still incumbent upon the leader or the executive team to mobilize the time and talents of people towards a specific vision and mission and goal, right? So money is just auxiliary in that sense. And so if we can set that aside, look at the vision with a $0 budget, you can be creating some amazing innovations. I think money puts a blinder on us and gives us a mental block that impedes us from developing the innovations that are possible. And so as I describe my answer to the audience, and again, I'm just thinking my confusion out loud, all right? I said, with the $100,000, I would get some basic equipment. So I would build the infrastructure for me to run on $0 operations for an online church that starts online. So in contrast to all of these churches, you know, the 105 and the 400 that are running live streams and running online campuses, they're all attached to a physical church. They're all part of a church that's gathered and has organized as a 501c3. They've got physical people gathering together in a room to do worship, however format they do it in. And that's a great thing. But now we're in the 21st century, and it's a new world. There are people gathering online in places like Second Life, in gaming worlds, in other virtual worlds, in video chats, spending time and time and hours convening and communing online without a physical presence. So what if we could create an online church using the existing free platforms and free tools that are available online? And you know, there's lots of those. There's YouTube is free, ad-supported, granted. Twitter and Facebook are free, ad-supported, granted. There's places you can get free web hosting. There's places you can get free hosting for videos and audios. There's a lot of free resources that you can use to be building something like an online church. And when you're talking about zero budget, then getting the initial seed money to launch a church is no longer an issue. It's no longer a hurdle. You don't have to be running a fundraising campaign to get the seed money to launch this online church. And if your assumption is, how do we run this on zero budget going forward? You have no recurring cost. All you have to do, or not all you have to do, but what you need to do is coordinate the use of time and talent for a consistent delivery of worship experiences. I think it is still important to have real-time connection. So my hunch is online churches that are on demand do not have the level of engagement as online churches that have real-time engagement. So there's still something about either being in the same place or being at the same time that engages us as people in a way that on-demand does not. Are you catching my idea? It's a pretty wild one, huh? So I'd love to get your feedback on just the idea of prototyping and doing something on zero budget. And just to round up my answer on what I shared at iMinistry, so with $100,000, I would be able to make that, you know, go for years because I'm running on zero budget. And so from the $100,000, I can put that in a bank and draw off the interest to buy hardware upgrades, you know, because I do want to use a nice microphone. I don't want to use a built-in mic from a laptop or use a free mic because the quality is just so terrible. And you do want to have your own hardware to produce your online church or whatever it is that you would want to create with a $0 budget in mind. And so funding becomes such a different animal when it's not about paying the bills on a recurring basis. And you can break that codependency on money, and you can innovate, and you can make an impact in the 21st century like we've never done before. That is exactly what we have done here at Social Media Church. This podcast runs with a $0 budget. And I launched this podcast in June of 2012, and it is now October 2013. So for 16 months now, with 63 episodes recorded and posted online, this has been a $0 prototype of innovation, generating useful, valuable content without any barrier of entry for people to listen and to learn and to be inspired and to be equipped from other churches doing amazing things using social media and using the tools of the internet to further the ministry of the gospel for their respective churches and for the kingdom of God. Just to give you a little bit of insight, well, how do I run this on zero budget? I have a full-time job elsewhere, and that pays the bills. And unless you're financially independent where you've made so much wealth that you don't need to work anymore, and sometimes people, that's called retired or retire early, you know, I'm not in that category. I still have to work. I still have bills to pay that I don't have the money for. So I still have to work. So I work to pay the bills doing some other things. And I am of the persuasion I do not want to monetize the Social Media Church podcast. I want to keep this prototype running as an example and as a prototype and as a model for how innovation can happen on $0 budget. A whole new category of innovation. It's not for profit. It's not nonprofit. It's just $0. Money doesn't matter. And I don't know what the word is for that. I don't know if it's such a new category. And granted, there's some pros and cons. And actually, I had written down a whole list of pros and cons and other notes for this episode. And boy, this one app I'm using called QEver, it didn't sync right with Evernote, and it lost all my notes. Ah, so frustrating when technology doesn't work, you know? So I'm just sharing with you off the top of my head and what's been incubating over the past few days since iMinistry, and just wanted to check in with you. And as we wrap up this episode of the Social Media Church, what we're really doing here is, another way to describe it, is we're leveraging cognitive surplus and mobilizing crowdsourcing. And so we've had over 15,000 downloads over those 62 previous episodes. And I would love to have your help in using your time and talents to get more listeners and to have more people join the conversations here at Social Media Church. I can't do it all by myself, or you know, if I only do it by myself, it will only go so far. But the more people that join in this cause to cultivate and to increase the level of conversations about social media with church leaders, the farther and wider and deeper it will go. So here's the call to action. Subscribe to the podcast. And you can subscribe using iTunes or whatever podcatcher, using RSS or Stitcher or whatever else that I've found. There's buttons there at socialmediachurch.net. Share this podcast with others. There's still a lot of people that have not heard about this podcast, but you know people that should be listening. Or you can be having a conversation with people about what you've just heard on this episode. Share with them the idea of zero budget innovation. Does that scare them, or does that inspire them? Let's have some conversations around that. I'd love to hear what you're doing with $0 budget innovation, because I think that can be a game changer and a world changer. Call in with your voicemail. Love to have your voice on a future episode. Just whatever comment you have, feedback is welcomed, or a story of where you've seen social media make a difference in your church or even in your personal life. Call in to the Social Media Church hotline. The number is 9493-543216. And the last call to action is a new one that I'm willing to experiment with, and that's to invite you to be a guest host of the Social Media Church podcast. Yes, use GarageBand or Audacity or whatever recording device that you like to use and record a conversation with another church leader about the use of social media. What's working, what's not working, what's a new idea that you're experimenting with, what you're dreaming of. Record an episode talking about social media with a couple church leaders. Introduce yourself, introduce who the people are. Shoot for a 15 to 25 minute window to have a robust conversation, and send it in to me at socialmediachurch.net. MP3 format's great. AIFF is a little bit better. And I'll add an intro and an outro to it. And I trust that you'll do a good job and we can just roll it right in. So, this is your invitation to be a guest host of the Social Media Church podcast. Would love to have you join in the conversation that we're having here. We're having a ton of fun, and I don't want to hoard all the fun and invite you to be a part of it. That's all I've got for this episode of the Social Media Church podcast. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.